Bridget stood up for what was wrong, just as the migrants walking from Central America are standing up for themselves and educating the world on the difficulties of their lives. Just as Ingrid in Sanctuary in Boulder is courageously standing up for immigrants in this country. And you know what? They are people, just like you and me. People taking courageous acts. As the four of us were thinking about this service, we realized that many, and maybe all of us, have our own stories of courage or stories of courage within our families. So today we're going to share a few of ours and then invite you into small groups to share yours. We'll start with Elizabeth.
So Franciscan friar Richard Rohr once wrote, "Pain that is not transformed is transmitted." My grandfather had a hard and painful start in life. His parents and his oldest brother all died within a few months of each other when he was just 7 years old. The remaining children were parceled out to various relatives. My grandfather and his brother were sent to live with Aunt Janie and Uncle Jim. They lived in Texas, but then one of the cousins got tuberculosis. Doctors advised the family to move to Canada, so they packed up and they went. They left everything behind and did what needed to be done because saving the life of this child was the most important thing to the family. My grandfather was 17 years old when they arrived in Calgary. He built a life. He met a woman and he courted her relentlessly. My grandmother would claim that she married him just to get him to stop pestering her. They had three children, and they were active in their church and their community, and they had many friends. The third child, my mother, was a caboose baby who started life very sickly. She was bedridden so long she would have to relearn to walk. The doctor suggested that the family move to California for her health. Once again, the life of a child was the most important thing to the family, and they packed up and they went. And once again, they had to leave so much behind. They came to California during World War II. Everything from bed sheets to housing was extremely difficult to come by. And my grandmother had a medical crisis early on, and those were hard years away from all their systems of support. They never again found the rich community they left behind in Canada, but they persevered. And this is a quiet story, a story of loss and immigration and starting over. It isn't flashy. My grandparents were quiet, steady people, and they did not make a show of their Christian faith, but they lived it. They had a marriage built on deep love and respect, and they raised three kind children. They did their work. My grandfather, however, lived his life with joy and zest. He lived all in. He could have derailed when his parents died. He could have rested in that brokenness. Instead, he took his pain and transformed it into love. So it was love and not pain that my grandfather transmitted down the generations. And that takes a lot of courage.
My great-great-grandfather, Milton C. Clark, was a Baptist preacher living in Kentucky around the time of the Civil War. And at the beginning of the Civil War, Kentucky was a neutral state. It had not declared for the Union or the Confederacy. So the armies would send recruiters to various towns and villages trying to recruit young men for their respective armies. And it just so happened in the town where Milton was living, both the Union and the Confederate recruiters showed up at the same time. So the recruitment there took on a sort of public display. There was marching through the streets and young men going to one side or the other. And as Milton and his wife watched this, they noticed that most of the men were going to the Confederate side. And Milton himself was not a particularly young man. He had a wife and kids and responsibilities. But so while his conscience and his faith and his loyalty was with the Union, he was not eager to join the war effort. But his wife leaned over to him and said, "You know, you really ought to go, because if you go, they'll follow you." And so with her urging, he decided to go and join the Union. And at the end of the day, most of the young men in that town did go to the Union. And so this story reminds me that not to discount the impact of the small acts of courage and the ways that they may inspire others, and also to always listen to your spouse.
Good morning. Tell about the South. What's it like there? What do they do there? Why do they live there? Why do they live at all? These words are from William Faulkner in his book, Absalom, Absalom. And they have been fairly central to my life for the last 6 or 7 years. So I'm a proud Southerner, and that is something that is hard to say at times. But this story I'm going to tell you is about the progressive righteousness that is central to the South that I know and love. So my mom's parents are from Virginia, southeastern Virginia, and I had heard over the years, you know, little snippets of stories here and there. But in college, I was an American Studies major, a Southern Studies major. And so I decided to really dig in. And my grandmother is the brain trust. Like, she can tell you the exact day that my grandparents bought a car 30 years ago. It's kind of terrifying. So, you know, I also have a really good memory. So I, like, have picked up snippets from her over the years. But there have been a few things. So her mother grew up on this farm that was right next door to a Quaker meeting house in rural southeastern Virginia. And it's also next to a town that is named after my great-grandmother's maiden name. And so those things got me curious. And I started digging, and I found out that my grandparents, my mom's parents, are cousins to each other several different ways, which is kind of weird. But I also learned that my earliest ancestor came to Jamestown in 1620. And then my family has been in southeastern Virginia. I'm the 12th generation, and I was the first one not born there. And so I, you know, like most white Southerners, there's almost certainly ugliness in my family history. So I started looking, and I remembered this story my grandmother had told me once, that her mother's parents were kicked out of their friend's meeting. And I was like, I wonder what that was about. So I discovered that my great-great-grandparents were asked to leave their friend's meeting for owning slaves. They had been part of this friend's meeting for over 200 years. The meeting house was established when George Fox came through southeastern Virginia. So these are people they had known for generations, and I'm grateful that their community was righteous and called them out and said that what you are doing is not okay. This is not in alignment with who we are. And so my family doesn't come out looking great in this story, but I'm so appreciative of their community. And, you know, my ancestors took a different route, and that's what they did, but that compels me to live in a different way today and to build a better world than they did. Thanks.
Both of my parents grew up in Italy during World War II, and my mother shared this story with me about her mother, that when her parents were renting a home in a part of the city of Padova, they had Jewish landlords. And during the war, my mother and her parents watched as their landlords were taken away. And shortly thereafter, my grandmother went into their landlord's home. They were sharing a house, and so, and found the deed to the property, which was in her Jewish landlord's name, and kept it until after the war. And then when the son came back by himself as the only survivor, she could hand him the deed so that he could take ownership of his property again.